Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Now, if people recall, and we talked about this when we covered the Matrix trilogy.
That's right.
That 2003 was very much the year of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers deemed it so, they blessed it.
Is that what happened?
That's what they did.
Uh-huh.
They got the Holy Pope himself to...
The Holy Pope?
Yes. To step down from the tower that he lives in or whatever, and he blessed it, the year of the Matrix.
That's incredible.
I know.
And believable, too.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
That sort of stuff happened in the early 2000s, you know?
It certainly
simpler
did.
Simpler times.
Yeah. And if you could leave a like on this video, because we are looking at a very particular...
piece of intellectual property.
Thank you.
Piece of content.
Piece of content. Covering the Matrix, specifically... The Animatrix. Now, this was released in June of 2003.
Or as I like to call it, The Matrix Weevolutions.
Oh, that's very good.
We did it, folks.
Was that the joke you told me that you were going
yes,
to...
Yes! I've had it in the chamber.
A week ago, you said, I've got a great joke.
And that was it.
If,
in fact, you think that is a great joke, if it's not, I have to think of something else by the end of the video and say it was.
Leave a comment. We'll see if it's a great joke.
Okay.
So this was...
Because of the weebs, James.
Because of the weebs, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is weeb city, mate. This whole thing. The Pope came down from up high and he went, this is disgusting.
This is weeb city. The diametric opposite of Vatican City. Weeb city. Although, is all of this technically anime?
Well, we'll talk about that.
Okay,
because
right.
I just want to mention the release and how this got started. So basically...
Well, speaking about weebs, having a release.
Bloody wrong, mate. So basically in June of 2003, and this was just after The Matrix Reloaded, they released this anthology of 9 short stories with different animation styles. They got mostly Japanese creators for this. Mm-hmm. They got the guy from Cowboy Bebop, the dude behind Aeon Flux, the creator of Final Fantasy, Spirits Within. Which one do you think that might be, do you think, if you had to guess?
Probably the...
Which one looks exactly like Final Fantasy, Spirits Within, Mason? The 3D one, it's the first one.
Yeah, it's the first one, the first yeah.
So the development of this began roughly in 1999 when the Wachowskis were doing like a world tour for The Matrix and they visited Japan and they wanted to visit a lot of animation houses because obviously, and we talked about this, so much of The Matrix is informed by anime. Well, a lot of things, but a lot of it is anime and a lot of people who worked in anime were very impressed that they were able to translate so much of that to live action.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, you know what I mean?
And the Wachowskis wrote some of these.
Yes.
Because some of these tie directly into the previous movie and then the subsequent sequels.
Correct.
The first one, Final Flight of the Osiris, that essentially is the story of how the human rebels discover that the machines are...
They know the big drill is coming.
They know the big drill is coming.
They saw the big drill and they told them, they made a phone call and said, big drill coming your way. 4 kilometres down, they said.
Mm.
These kilometres in the world of The Matrix. And I respect... Well, they were filmed in Sydney, so that makes sense, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah. And schooners. These kilometres and schooners. It's units of measurement.
So they were initially thinking, Joel Silver, who produced this, are like, do we do this as a TV show? Do we do this as like an animated movie? Mm. What are we going to do?
Do we put it on streaming? And they're like, that doesn't exist yet.
Joel Silver, you're well ahead of your time. We appreciate that, but you are lost in the weeds of this.
Can we make it webisodes? Can we put it on a CD-ROM that we put in a cereal packet? And you open it up and maybe you get one you liked and maybe you get the Aeon Flux one, which I didn't really like that much.
Yeah, not a great ending, I would say. Kind of a doubter. But look, to be fair, I think most of these...
Oh, man, I got the one where the guy's a runner or something and he wants to be a runner. I've got 4 of these now.
I liked the guy that...
That's
look,
all right.
To be fair, like I didn't dislike any of these, really. And I think it was a very good idea to put basically money and effort into this because there is a shocking amount of effort that went into this. Like, you'd think, you know, for a lot of stuff that you know, something's coming out. Remember we talked about Mortal Kombat and they went, yeah, we did like an animated prequel series. Who gives a shit? This is nearly 20 years old.
Yeah.
But it still looks incredible.
The first one especially.
Yeah.
Like, that stands up today. Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Look, I wouldn't say the first one in terms of, like, its storytelling. I don't think it's the best. And, look, I think, you know, there are dated, like, character models in that.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at, like, the world that they created and you look at, like, the Sentinels and the flying ships and the electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looks like a movie-quality thing.
That's true.
That one, actually, you might know this, Mason.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So... The Final Flight of the Osiris was originally shown as a standalone piece in the theatrical release for The Matrix Reloaded preceding the main film. So this helped provide background information on how the humans first found out about the machine threat to Zion, as you mentioned. And here's something I want to ask you. You were a massive Matrix fan, not just in the Year of the Matrix, but just all years around Year of the Matrix, correct?
Yeah, and I was absolutely a fan of the Matrix. And prior to that, I was a fan of all the stuff that the Wachowskis ripped off to make the Matrix.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So were you such a big fan that you went and saw the Stephen King adaptation of Dreamcatcher, which played this beforehand?
Let me tell you this, no.
Wow. Well, then you're not really a big fan, are you?
No.
Of the works of Stephen King, specifically Dreamcatcher. It's about an alien and...
I still haven't seen it, to be honest.
Still haven't seen it?
And there's a TV show now, I think, as well.
Probably. Is it related or is it just called the same thing?
Oh, no, I was thinking of a different TV show.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
I love TV.
I was thinking of The Good Place.
Oh, yeah. No,
just
that's... I mean, they're not... completely dissimilar.
That's
you could
true.
Find some similarities,
I
reckon. Yeah. On the topic of that Final Fantasy one, they actually did an animation test where they took the main character from the Final Fantasy movie, whoever that was, and had them like do a somersault over a sentinel. Like that was kind of like the, yeah, we could probably do this. We could probably give this a go. Can we make them cut each other's clothes off in a very erotic way? It's weird. Why'd they do that bit? It's the weirdest thing in this, I
we
reckon.
We don't know what the future society's like. Maybe that's... Look, ultimately, that's all they got left, right?
Yeah.
Erotic cutting.
Erotic cutting. Look, if I had to name some favourites, I really enjoyed the episodes, the second Resistance Part 1 and then Part 2.
Do you mean the second of Renaissance Part 1 or 2?
Nah, I reckon the thing I said. I reckon the thing I said. What would that be about if you had to have a guess?
Oh, that's about the creation of the machines and their rebellion against humanity, and then the creation of their own city, then the humanity can't leave it alone, can they? So they got to attack the city, but then the machines attack back, and then it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing, yeah. It's interesting because it gives so much context to little throwaway lines that are mentioned in The Matrix, which I really appreciate, because it's not necessarily things that you need to know within the movie, but it's a nice fleshing out of it. Like, there was a murder by a particular robot, and then that robot went on trial.
Feels a bit Isaac Asimov.
That's right, yeah. It was called B166ER, like bigger. That's fun, isn't it? I think. And they've all got little bowler hats and then serving trays and all that, kind of thing. But it also seems as if it's framed in a way where the machines did not start this.
Yeah.
Like, they were pushed to the point where they went, we've actually had enough of this. Like, you see them kind of crying for help and being like, I don't want to be involved in any of this. And they go and live in their own city hoping to be, you know, independent of humans. And they come to the UN Council for the first time and they get attacked and all of that. And then it eventually gets to the point where, you know, they're fighting each other on the battlefield and the machines are just like, we're just going to do biological warfare, I reckon.
Yeah.
We can absolutely do that.
But here's a question for you, James. Yeah. Is it true, though? Because
That's a great question. In the first movie,
I believe Morpheus says, we don't know who struck first. But there appears to be this completely sort of transparent historical record of this happening. So is it true or is it...
great question.
Has somebody invented this for their own purposes?
Well, I mean, the narrator is told as if it is like a historical artifact.
Yeah.
And we don't know whether it is a human or machine historical artifact. I'd imagine it's a machine because the humans don't really know. They know, as they mention, I think Morpheus mentions, that they blacked out the sky.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where the robots are just pulling them off battlefields and just plugging them straight into batteries.
So like, is it a machine propaganda?
It could be.
Yeah. Learn in one of the later stories, the machines can be turned around. Like,
yes.
They can have their.
You can put one in the Matrix.
You don't have to. You don't reprogram them, but potentially you can get them to change their minds about the whole situation. So maybe this is a layer of propaganda, but they tell their machine kids.
You could absolutely be right. Speaking of kids, there's one kid story with which you might remember the character of the kid.
I love the kid, the character of the kid.
The Matrix Reloaded and subsequent sequel.
It's like, hey, Neo.
Hey, I'm your best mate.
Neo.
I'm your best mate, I think.
Hey, Neo.
I'm your best mate.
Neo.
I don't know you, mate.
I'll rescue a lot of people. I don't care at this point. I don't care.
So, real name, Michael Karl Popper. Mm. And look, again, and we mentioned this, not a character that I'm a massive fan of, but this is a terrific, well, first of all, animated, I guess, as they all are, but a terrific insight into this character where he's one of the few people who managed to break the confines of the Matrix without being like someone going in and grabbing him specifically and showing him the way out.
Shaking him
and being like,
stick your hand in the mirror, idiot.
Get out of it. Bloody get out of it. There's also one called Program where it's like an ancient Japanese simulation.
Oh, yes.
Where there's a fight. There's a big samurai fight. Mm, and it turns out to be a test and whatever. Where, you know, to say like, why don't you bloody come back into the Matrix? It's going to be cool. We're going to hang out together in the Matrix. Do you think that one implies that you can die within a program? Because I've always wondered. Like, I know you can die in the Matrix, but if you're just in a program and it doesn't have, say, like a big asphalt floor that can like catch you. You know what I mean? Like when we saw in the movie.
Yeah.
Will it kill you?
Probably a setting for it.
Yeah, it's just a switch. Yeah, you wouldn't want to like lean on it.
Or like it's a microtransaction. Yeah. You don't want to die. You have to pay 99 cents every time you fall off a building. One of my highlights was a detective story.
Oh, yeah.
Which I liked because it was a real man in the world of the Matrix who has been tasked to track down world-class hacker Trinity.
Yeah.
You know, as a detective story, I felt it was kind of, you know, fairly boilerplate standard. But I love that we see him using the technology of the Matrix, that weird kind of steampunk.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that technology has spread to the rest of the world. Like, it's kind of
this
very odd kind of brass and metal, everything's operated with a typewriter. I thought it was a real cool aesthetic.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think that one speaks to kind of a lot of the back end of this. Not all of the back end, but a lot of these people are living within the Matrix and odd things are happening to them. There's the one where they think it's a haunted house, but it's clearly just, you know, a glitch in the Matrix. And also the one about the man who breaks the world record for running. Like, as his body's breaking down, he's just using mental capacity to just go beyond the limits of the Matrix. And, you know, he very briefly, like, snaps out of it into the real world, which I thought was great. But all these people are seeing these things and they know something is wrong and nobody's telling them. And so they're trying to make sense of the information that they are, you know, being subjected to. I thought that was a really interesting perspective, and not just like, because look, you could have gone into this and go, here's another guy, he's a guy like Neo, and he's just got a coat and he's got to go in and he's got to break into or whatever, and he's got an agent, it's not Smith, but he looks like Smith and whatever. You could have easily done that with this, you know?
Yeah,
and I think, I don't know whether that is like an off-putting thing for this, but I think as a result of that, it does stand more of the test of time because it's not just a knockoff where it's just like, this is, you know, like the straight-to-DVD animated, you know, adaptation of The Matrix, you know what I mean? Just like a side story and whatever. Yeah. This is kind of like a...
It's not the Asylum knockoff, Dot Matrix.
Exactly. It's a man with his hand jammed in a printer.
That's what it is, yes. You know, one thing that I did find was weird. Not in itself that it was weird. It sort of shocked me that it's never had any ramifications in the real world. In the kid's story, he escapes The Matrix by leaping off a building to his death.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of amazed that... no one tried that in the real world.
It seems like a very...
This is an intervention, James. Don't leap off a building. I know you're currently on a building and you're still recording this video, which I respect, but don't do it.
Fine, I won't do it.
It's a fictional story. It's not going to happen.
Here's a question for you, though.
Go on.
What order do you think people should watch all of the Matrix materials? Because you could very well go like... you know, you start with the origin of the man and machine war and go up from there. But then I think that spoils the reveal of the first Matrix movie. So how would you say you should watch this?
James, people have debated this endlessly, not only with The Matrix, but with Star Wars, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
With the Mummy movies.
With the Mummy movies.
Do you start with the Tom Cruise one?
Et cetera.
Yes.
But I would say, watch them the order they got released in.
See, I don't
know. I would say that with all of them.
I would change that slightly. I would say that... watch the first Matrix, watch these, and then go into Reloaded because there is a lot of...
Isn't that the order they came out
of? No, Reloaded came first.
Oh, did it? Okay, yeah. in that case, that order.
Do that thing.
Yeah, do that thing.
Do that thing that
yeah,
I said?
Yeah,
terrific. So it goes the Matrix, Animatrix, Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, Matrix New Matrix.
Yeah.
Matrix John Wick Hair Matrix.
Where do we put the video games?
In the bin. Got him! Well, that's a great question, because do people want us to come back and talk about Enter the Matrix? We said that we might, but of course, the time is running out towards the end of
that's
the year,
true. Mm-hmm.
You know. So let us know if you do want to look at that. That is a real oddity in itself, because it actually made use of Warner Brothers filming two movies back to back and just went, let's also do a video game while we're here. Mm-hmm. Why not? But funnily enough, this sold 2.7 million copies, grossing $68 million in sales revenue the year it came out, which is pretty phenomenal. Great. And if you were to get a box set, Mason, of The Matrix, would you bloody expect this to be there?
In the shape of Morpheus's head?
Yes.
Crack it open.
Crack it open,
yep. Love those DVDs. I'd like to see it in there.
Yeah.
And are you going to present me with it now? Or?
No, we're waiting. The Pope needs to...
oh, I see, right.
Decree whether
that
is...
We're bringing that bit back. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, then you bought a joke and I bought a joke.
Okay, great. You brought the Pope.
Tell us below which is the better joke. Look, I know it's not mine. You don't have to say it, all right? Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. A little bit shorter, this one, but what do you do? You know what I mean?
That's right.
What absolutely do you do? Well, you know what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually have a hint towards next week. Here we bloody go. Wow.
Whoa.
Incredible. It's a Boba Fett video game, I think.
Oh.
I'm going to bloody record that, mate. I'll tell you that much. I'll bloody give you the hot tip. I'll give you the bloody word. I'll let you know, Mason. Let you know.
Go on.
It's not a video game. It's Battlefront. There's a battle with a Boba Fett level.
And we can briefly turn into Boba Fett or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of pre-playing to play as Boba Fett.
I've done it already. Don't even worry about it, Mason. You don't need to worry about a goddamn thing. You can just swan in and make fun of my game plan.
Right. That's what I was going to do anyway, I think.
Now, if you do want to see that early, which you absolutely can.
I can and do.
You can head over to bigsandwich.co where there's early videos, where there is movie commentaries, where there is bonus podcasts, all of that exclusive to that. It's like our own private Patreon over there, isn't it, Mason?
Yes.
Including our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday on major platforms, but a day early at Big Sandwich.
On Sunday.
Anyway, let's get out of here, Mason. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Goodbye, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.